Good morning, everybody. We welcome you to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sabbath morning. We're glad to see all that have gathered with us. We're encouraged by all the boys and girls and young people that have been at Sunday school and the Bible classes. It's good to see all of those departments recommenced again. Just to read one verse of Scripture to you in keeping with our Bible study just a little later, Joshua chapter 1 and the 8th verse. Remember, we're thinking of studying the Scriptures, encouraging you to study the Word of God a little more, especially those that are involved in the Lord's work. So Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Think of that line especially, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night." May the Lord give us that desire to be constantly reading and meditating upon His Word. The hymn 194 is our opening praise this Sabbath morning. "Go search the Scriptures, saith our Lord, they testify of me. 'Tis truth's eternal great record, from every error free." So the hymn 194, please, and we're standing as we sing. Let's just bow together in prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face. Pray for His help and blessing to rest upon the meeting here this morning. Father, we come to Thee today with praise want to give thee the thanks of our hearts. Want to thank you, Father, for bringing us to the house of God this Sabbath morning. We thank you for health and strength that enables us to be here. We praise thee, Father, for this beautiful spell of weather that you've blessed us with. We thank, Father, even the promise, while the earth remains, there will be the seed time and the harvest. And we praise thee for giving even the weather to help the farmers as they would gather in the harvest at this season of the year. We commit that matter into your hands. And Lord, we want to thank you for the Sunday school, the Bible classes. We praise thee for the children, the boys and girls. Thank you for their presence in the house of God today. Remember, the Savior took the little ones up in his arms. He put his hands upon them and he blessed them. And Lord, we would ask today for the children of this congregation that you'll put your hand upon them and bless them from their earliest days. We pray that you'll bless them with a heart for the things of God. Give them an ear for the word, an ear for the gospel. We pray, Father, put your hand of blessing upon the Sunday school and Bible classes. Add to them. We're praying, Father, that you'll send others to this church. Bring in others from the city, the community. You've told us we're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. We ask thee, Father, to hear our cries, even to that end. We commit this week into your hands as we think, Father, of various activities and outreaches of the church that are recommencing again. We pray for the two bright hours on Tuesday night. We pray you'll encourage the leaders and the workers. We thank you for the work that was conducted and engaged in over the summertime, the holiday Bible clubs and those that heard the word of God, those that were spoken to. And Lord, our prayer would be bring in many children, both here and down in Killaloe. We pray, Father, for new children. We pray, Father, there'll be an increase given in those works. We're mindful as well of the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Thank you for the prayer meeting on Wednesday past, for the visit of our brother that testified and reported of the Lord, how you reached down and saved him, how you transformed his life. We think of how you've called him into the work of the ministry in that great nation. Our prayer would be that you'll encourage him during this time here in Northern Ireland, strengthen his hands. Remember the Boyles as they will visit with us on Wednesday evening. Lord, we praise thee for the progress, the great developments in the work of God there in Mexico. We thank you for that open door. We praise thee for the contacts that you've given to our brother, those that have shown great interest, the other pastors with which he fellowships. We think of the ministry too in the Dominican Republic. Lord, we praise thee for how you've used your servant. And our prayer would be that he would be an instrument, a channel of blessing in your hand as he comes to report, he and his family, with us this Wednesday night. We pray too, Father, that you'll bless our committee as it meets on Monday evening. Thank you for help given to the session in the week past. Give wisdom to the committee. Lord, guide them. Give them the help of God, the direction of the Lord for the days ahead. Mindful of the youth fellowship, we ask thee, Father, to guide our young people, encourage their hearts. We pray that, as you've done in the past, you'll lead some of our young people into the work of the gospel. Call them, Father, to missionary service. Remember Matthew and Hannah as they lead that work. May they know guidance as well. And Lord, give the increase to every department of our church and of our work. We're mindful of the special service next Sunday morning, the Sunday school prize giving. We pray for visitors. We pray, Father, that you'll bring in family members. We pray they have a desire to come to hear the children, to encourage them. And Lord, we pray it might even be a time of soul winning. As we've thought, Father, of the physical harvest been gathered in, we pray for the spiritual. We ask thee, Father, to hear our cries. We pray that you'll give us souls. We pray that as a congregation we will come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us, mindful of various gospel missions being conducted across the land at this time. Oh God, we pray you'll visit this province once again. Remember the meetings recently in Market Hill, the seed that was sown. Oh God, speak on. We pray in that town and that community. We pray the Market Hill Church will see the increase, see souls saved, new families added, even as a result of that gospel mission too. Lord, we're mindful of events across the earth, international events. We think of what has taken place in Morocco just at the end of this week. And Lord, you've reminded us again that we know not what a day will bring forth. Remember the Saviour spoke of this age being characterized by earthquakes. We remember the earthquake, Father, in Acts 16 at Philippi, how you used that earthquake to speak to the jailer and his family. We pray, Father, that you might do the same in Morocco and, Father, even across the earth as people consider the quickness with which they can be called away from this scene of time. And Lord, we ask thee to remember that nation, be with all that are involved in the aid and the support that has been given, the rescue operation. We pray that the hand of God prospering that might be taking place. And we pray too, Father, that even as a result of this event, that there might be opportunities in that nation, that Islamic nation, for the spread of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Father, abide with us now. We pray for the help of God in this meeting. We pray that you'll lead us through the service. We pray you'll save us from labouring in our own strength. And we pray today give to us the anointing and the infilling of thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first psalm, please, we're going to sing together. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The words of the first psalm, the tune to the first hymn was St. Paul. This tune is St. Peter, so they go well together. We're going to stand together again as we worship the Lord, please. We're turning together in the scriptures to read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter, the final chapter of the epistle. Remember, we emphasized last Sabbath this was the final book that the Apostle Paul wrote under inspiration of the scriptures. We're going to read again the same passage. We're coming back to the second part of the message we commenced last Sabbath. We're going to begin to read again at verse 9, 2 Timothy 4. I'd encourage you as we read, take note of the name places. There's quite a number of them just in this short section of the scriptures. So note those as we read down the portion of God's word together. So 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, Paul says to the young man, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Lucas with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Ending there, just at the close of the chapter, and we pray the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We want to welcome you all to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We're glad of your presence. We welcome each one in the Saviour's name. We're glad to see some back that have been away on their holidays, on a time of break. We trust that you've had a good time. We're glad to see you back safely with us, and some that haven't been out because they have been unwell. So we're glad to see all that have gathered in the house of the Lord. We see the newly married Mr. and Mrs. Soden in the service. Daniel and Naomi just married on Friday in the Kilkeel Church. So we want to wish them as a congregation God's richest blessing for the days and years that lie ahead. It's good to see all the children and the young people that are present. We're glad to see you all back at Sunday school and the Bible classes. We want to encourage you in your attendance at Sunday school and Bible class. And we're thankful to the children who have been very faithful in coming to the services, even over the summertime. We welcome those that are watching on the live stream. We pray that the service will be a blessing and a help to you as well. Do remember the meetings in the will of the Lord in the incoming week. Keep in mind the service tonight, 6 o'clock. The prayer meeting in the hall downstairs, 6:30, is the gospel service. The theme tonight is Money in the Light of Eternity. So we encourage you to come again. We've been encouraged by your presence. Remember the importance of seeking to bring others under the sound of the gospel. So do remember that meeting. Remember the season of prayer especially. Come that little bit earlier and join with us. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee downstairs in the hall, just to remind the brethren of that. Tuesday night at 7:15, both children's bright hours recommence again for the new season. So here in the church hall and down in the band hall in Killaloe, we thank the leaders and workers for their commitment to those meetings. We pray you'll have a fruitful season too. Please make those meetings known and encourage the children, both in Armagh and down in the Killaloe area, to come along to those meetings. Remember Wednesday night at 8, the prayer meeting and Bible study. It'll be a special visit of the Boyle family, missionaries in Mexico. The Reverend Jason Boyle, his wife Danielle, and their two children, Jonathan and Caleb, they'll all be present with us in the will of the Lord. So they will give an update on their work. They'll show a video presentation of their ministry, the significant developments that have taken place there. It's about 11 years since the Boyles have been here in the province to report, just about the time that they went out to Mexico. They were to come about 3 years ago. Plans were being made for them to visit then, but because of the COVID, it had to be postponed. So we've been encouraged with a very good meeting on Wednesday night past. There was a very good attendance at the midweek service. We encourage you to come again. Avail of the opportunity to hear the Boyles. Remember, there will be a missionary offering taken as well at the close of that service. Friday night at 8 is the youth fellowship, recommencing again for the new season. They're going to commence with a recreation night, an informal evening. So we encourage all of the young people to come along. Remember those of secondary school age and up. We invite you to come along. Encourage Matthew and Hannah with your presence, and bring your friends along to the youth fellowship with you also. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of September, 10:40, the Sunday School and Bible classes. Do continue to make that known. And then 11:30, the morning service. The morning service next Sabbath will be the Sunday School prize giving. The children will take part in the meeting. I'll bring a children's address, and there will be then the attendance prizes for last season that will be given out to all of the young people. So that's always a special time. We always enjoy the children participating in the meetings. Plan to come yourself. Take the opportunity to invite family and relatives along to hear the children. Pray for the Lord's blessing on that meeting. Remember the gospel service in the evening at 6:30. The preacher next Sunday night is Mr. Andrew Irwin, a Whitfield College student. I'm preaching next Sunday night down in the conference in Kilskerry, their annual conference. They have different speakers for each evening, so they've asked if I would do the Sunday night subject for them. Keep in mind the half hour of prayer before both of the services. We encourage you to come along and seek the blessing of the Lord. Just remind you again of the baptismal service in Tandragee, Tuesday night the 26th of September. We do encourage every believer to be baptized. If you would like to be baptized at that service, let me know as soon as possible. Those that have been attending the church here for some time, we emphasize that to you. If you could speak to me about that as soon as possible, if you feel you would like to be baptized that night. Just the XSNI, those checks that are necessary, the enhanced disclosure checks. For all that are involved in children's work and youth work in the church, remember that we did have a night back towards the beginning of the year. If you weren't able to make an application at that time, we encourage you to do so as soon as possible. Let me know if you need copies of the sheets that have the details of what's required, and those sheets also have the details of the instructions for you to follow. So just to emphasize that, as the work is beginning again, if you weren't able to apply earlier in the year, please do that as soon as you can. Remember the literature that's available, the latest Vision magazine, the latest LTBS quarterly. Remember the sheet as well, with the details from the Education Board of the Presbytery of some special rallies that they're holding in different venues across the province in the next few weeks. The Auchnacloy Church is having their youth rally tonight at 9:15. The testimony is our brother Matthew Hunter from the Randallstown Church, and Hannah Armstrong is to be the singer. The Whitfield College graduation service is tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock in the Martyrs Church in Belfast, and the preacher is the moderator, the Reverend Samuel Murray. So remember that special service for the college if you'd like to go along and give your support to it. The Dungannon Church have asked us to announce their ladies' conference. It is on Monday night week. That's Monday the 18th of September at 8. The singers are Miss Charlotte Cackey and Mr. Peter Mander, and the speaker is Mrs. Vi Dawson. So we do encourage the ladies to go along to that special annual conference and give your support to it. Remember the children's worker seminars that are being held. Two of them are over, Sandown and Macrofelt yesterday. Very good attendance in Macrofelt yesterday. Those being conducted by the Reverend McKee and our children's evangelist working under the board. So the nearest one to us is next Saturday in Market Hill. Starts at 10:30, run through to about 3, lunches included. So we do encourage you to go along and avail of that if you're involved in the Sunday School, the children's or youth works of the church. Remember, you need to register online if you're planning to attend. That's on the Mission Board website, so do that as soon as you can. Continue to remember Brother Mr. Norman Kerr in hospital. He is doing a little better, still quite weak. Pray for the Lord's continued hand to be upon our brother in direction given for his move from the hospital. We're going to sing together another hymn before we come to the scriptures. 182, Break Thou the Bread of Life, Dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the bread beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord, my spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. 182, we'll stand to sing, please.
Break the bread beside the sea.
We're going to bow together again, just in prayer. Father, we do want to remember those that can't be present with us today because of illness or because of increased years. We want to pray that you've been near to them. You've assured us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We ask that they would be conscious of your presence. Thank you, Father, for some in the congregation that have known the strengthening and healing touch of God in recent days. We do pray for our brother Norman in hospital especially. Ask that he would be very conscious just of your nearness. We lift this work up before thee, Father, here. Thank you for all that are present today. Bless our fellowship. We pray that you'll lead us on. We ask thee, maintain this work. We pray that you'll add to it, cause it to go forward. We plead for the blessing of God to be upon our labors. We want to ask thee, Father, help us in our study of your word. We pray that you'll give us a renewed desire to meditate upon the scriptures, to study the word of God. Thank you for how you have blessed us with the scriptures in our own language. And Lord, we want to pray, even as we sang a little earlier, that each of us would be as the blessed man. We'd have a desire to meditate upon thy word day and night. Hear our cries. We pray, Father, grant us utterance. May we know help today in the ministry of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and the verse 13 is our text. It's especially the words towards the end where it says, and the books, but especially the parchments. Think of the verse as a whole, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Some things Paul desired to have during the time of his imprisonment, that he could pass the time profitably. The winter was coming in, getting a little colder. He desired to have his cloak. But then he emphasizes the books, but especially the parchments. I emphasized to you last Sabbath that Paul was a reader. He was a man who devoted his life to study, to the study of the things of God. We've been thinking especially of the books, that part of the text where it says, and the books, but especially the parchment. We've been thinking of some books that help you, help every Christian, some books that every Christian should have and should own, books that will help you in your understanding of the Word of God. We've entitled these messages, Helps to Reading the Bible. Just with the new season, those who are involved in the different departments, those that will be speaking and being involved in the conducting of meetings, you'll be preparing messages and preparing Bible stories. So these messages, it was to be one, it has run into a second part today. But the idea, the thought behind them is to give you some guidance and books that will be of help to you as you personally study the scriptures and as you take that needed time to prepare for those meetings. We want to encourage you to renew your dedication and your desire for the study of the scriptures. Last Lord's Day, we just covered one of the areas. We thought about commentaries, the need of commentaries, the thoughts and the insights of other godly people as they have studied and meditated upon the Word of God. If you weren't able to be with us last Sunday, remember you can hear that message on Sermon Audio or on Facebook. We encourage you to take the time to listen to the first part of the message. There's three other areas or three other books in particular that I want to emphasize to you in the message today. The first of those is a concordance. A concordance is a very large volume that has every word, and let me emphasize that, every word in the Bible is recorded in it in alphabetical order. Sometimes you will have a concordance at the back of your Bible. That is good, and that is helpful. But the type of concordance that I'm thinking of and emphasizing is one that has a list of the words in full and in complete. Because every single time a word occurs in the Bible, the concordance lists it for you. There are concordances for words in Greek and Hebrew, in those languages, if you want to go a little further in your study of the things of God. But it's the concordance of words in the English language which will be of most interest and most value to you as you study the scriptures and prepare stories and messages. There are basically three concordances available in the English language to choose from. There's one that was prepared by a man called Cruden's. Dr. Paisley was very fond of Cruden's concordance and favourable to it. There was Robert Young's. Mr. Douglas would put emphasis on the profitableness of Robert Young's. And then there's James Strong's. It's probably the most widely used. It's linked to another two-volume set by a man called Wigram. And James Strong's concordance is described as exhaustive. It must have been an exhausting work for him putting together. Described as exhaustive because it does include every word recorded in the scriptures. Dr. Paisley had a little rhyme that he went over. Some of you may remember hearing him say it. He would often repeat it to us in the college. Young's for the young, Strong's for the strong, and Cruden's for the crude. He would like to poke a little bit of fun at that, particularly the fact that he used Cruden's quite a bit himself. But those are the three available. What I suggest that you do is look at each of them carefully before you buy, if you haven't already done so, and decide which you think would be best for you to use yourself. Now let me tell you what the three main uses of a concordance are. You might wonder, why would I need a volume of that nature? Well, there's three main reasons, or three main benefits for you of having a concordance. One is finding a verse. You may want to find a verse in the scriptures, a particular verse. You can't remember the reference. You can only remember a few words of that verse. Well, what you can do is look up one of the prominent words in the concordance, and that will help. That will actually give you the reference. That will tell you where to find that verse. That is the most common use of a concordance by the most of God's people. Mr. Douglas would have told us in the college not to do that. He would have told us not to use the concordance to find the verse. He would have suggested to us to search through the scriptures yourself until you actually find the verse. Now that takes time and patience, but the great benefit that he would have emphasized is that you get more familiar with the Word of God. But if you don't have the time to do that, then you can find the verse by the use of a concordance. Another benefit of it is following a word. If you want to follow a particular word through the Bible, you may want to do a word study, see all the times that that word is used in the scriptures. Well, then a concordance can help you. If, for example, you wanted to find every time the word ephod occurs in the Word of God, well then, just turn up that word in the concordance and the whole list, the entire list, will be there on the page before you. So what you can do in that instance is you can take the time to turn up all of those references, look them up, and then read them, ponder those verses very carefully indeed. The other benefit of a concordance is it focuses on the meaning. Strong's and Young's particularly do that, each in their own way. They give you a full definition, a full meaning of each of the words of the Bible. So even when they do that, they list the Greek and the Hebrew root for you from which that word actually comes. So that can be very profitable. That's something I would encourage you to do a little more of. Strong's, I mentioned to you, is linked to Wigram. Sometimes you might hear a preacher say that this word is used 25 times in the New Testament, and in other places it's translated in this way, and cite a number of examples. Well, you're able to do that by using Wigram's volumes. The numbers that are used in Strong's correspond with Wigram, and that can actually help give a deeper meaning. It helped give a fuller understanding, give more light on each of those words in the Scriptures. So for those three reasons, a concordance is an indispensable tool. It is an indispensable help for those who are serious about Bible study, those who are serious Bible students. A third book, so we thought of the commentary, we thought of the concordance. A third book that you should have is the dictionary. The reader of the Bible, not just the reader of secular material, but the reader of the Bible needs the help of a dictionary as well. Remember, a dictionary is a book that explains meanings. And there are really four types of dictionary that we can get help from in our study of the Scriptures. First of all, the English dictionary. Don't overlook it. As in reading any book, when you're reading the Bible, you will come across English words that you don't know. You don't know what it means. You're not familiar with it. You don't know you don't have an understanding of what that word is actually referring to. And what you ought to do, let me emphasize it, in those instances, is don't be lazy. Don't just pass over the word without giving it any thought. You should take the time. Take the time to reach just for the English dictionary. In fact, in this day of smartphones, if you type the word into Google, the meaning will come up for you in a few seconds. But take the time to look up the meaning of that English word. Find out the meaning. That will help you. It will give a bit more depth and a bit more light in your understanding of that word and that understanding of that verse as well. So an English dictionary. Think as well of a theological dictionary. You know that in the Bible you come across terms like justification, propitiation, predestination. And often believers say, maybe this has been your attitude, often believers say, that's too deep for me. And they just leave it. They don't look into it any further. How sad, brethren and sisters. How sad and how wrong that is. Remember this. If that word is in the Bible, then God has spoken it to you. God has it there for a reason. And as a Christian, you should want to know the meaning of that word. You should want to know what God is actually saying to you in that place. And a theological dictionary will help you there. It will help you with such terms as those that I have just mentioned to you, because it will explain the doctrinal, the theological terms to you. The best one available, Dr. Alan Kearns's Dictionary of Theological Terms. It has been enlarged and improved three times. LTBS is now going to bring out a revised and enlarged fourth edition for their 50th anniversary. So I encourage you to watch out for it. In many ways, it is a summary of the theological work of Dr. Kearns. Remember that he was a great theologian of the Scriptures. It's a very profitable book. It's very easy to read. It will be very, very helpful to you. A third dictionary is what is called an expository dictionary. An expository dictionary explains the meaning of Bible words. Generally, they explain its meaning from the original language, either the Greek or the Hebrew. Remember, some of the Old Testament limited portions were originally written in Aramaic, but an expository dictionary will help give you the meaning from the original languages, doing somewhat the same job as a concordance, only in a far fuller, a far deeper way, and sometimes even with a valuable bit of exposition added into the definition as well. One of the best expository dictionaries is by a man called W.E. Vine. It is called an expository dictionary of Bible words. It has been around for quite some time and is very, very useful indeed. And then the final one is what is known as a Bible dictionary proper. A Bible dictionary is really a book like a Bible encyclopedia, and it gives vital information on people, places, customs, Bible customs of Bible lands, the culture of Bible lands as well. One of the great mistakes that we make when reading the Bible is we try to interpret it from a Western standpoint. You need to understand the customs and the culture of the peoples of those nations in which the events of the Bible actually took place. So, for example, if you want to read about Egypt, then the Bible dictionary will give you a lot of detail about the background of the nation of Egypt. If you want to read about the Passover, if you're doing the story of the Passover in Sunday school or children's meeting, whatever the case may be, then the Bible dictionary will tell you all that is involved in the feast of the Passover and so on. So the Bible dictionary. One of the best of those can only be gotten now secondhand, very hard to come by. It's what is called Patrick Fairburn's Imperial Bible Dictionary. He was a Scottish Presbyterian minister of a former generation. It comes in two volumes. But there are others. Unger's Bible Dictionary is very popular and very useful. So the Bible reader, the student of the Word of God, remember you ought to be such if you're a child of God. You should be a student of the Scriptures. So you need a dictionary. An English dictionary, theological one, an expository one, and the Bible dictionary proper. The final book we'll emphasize is what is called the Bible Atlas. Remember, that's mainly a book of maps and of Bible places. Whenever we did the Bible conference in Kakamega, the conference for the pastors there, I think it was in 2017, Dr. John McKnight from the United States was with us at that time. He had been conducting pastors' conferences for the most of 20 years in Kenya. And one of the things that he brought from the States to give out was a small Bible atlas for each of those pastors. He put great emphasis upon the importance of an atlas for those men. So a Bible atlas is full of maps, Bible places. It also contains some pictures, some information on those places as well. And it is amazing the lessons that can be learned by just looking at a Bible atlas. For example, did you ever follow Paul's missionary journeys? Did you ever find a map that had those outlined on it? Just to see how far the Apostle Paul traveled in days before the motor car, in days before the jumbo jet, in days when even traveling by boat, by sailing ship, was slow and very challenging. Remember that he said that he was in a shipwreck at least three times. And when he said that, there was at least one more shipwreck that he was involved in afterwards, a night and a day in the deep. So did you ever take the time to follow Paul's missionary journeys? The New Testament states that some of his journeys were made on foot. Take a little look through Acts 20. He walked to a place called Azos. We'll take a look in a Bible atlas just to see how far that was and see the topography, the terrain, the landscape over which he actually walked at that time. Many places in our Bible reading today, I highlighted that for you at the beginning. There's a place there called Dalmatia. You think of the Dalmatian dogs. There is a connection. Dalmatia. Take a little look. You're familiar with Dalmatia, maybe under a different name today. Sometimes it's still emphasized or spoken of in that way. Think too of the story of Elijah. Did you ever look to see where the brook Kereth is, or the city of Zarephath? Did you learn the distance between the two when Elijah left the brook and went to Zarephath? Remember that he went out of Israel altogether. Maybe you didn't realize that. Went out of Israel altogether when he went to Zarephath. Remember the journey at a time when his life was in danger. He was really on the run. Ahab was seeking to take his life. It'd be profitable also for you to find Mount Carmel on the map. Find its location. Take a little look at its size. There's a sense in which Mount Carmel is nearly like a mountain range. It is quite vast. Take a look at the distance to Jezreel from Mount Carmel. Because remember, Elijah ran from Carmel to Jezreel in front of Ahab's chariot. Did you ever look to see just how far that was? How far he ran? I would venture to say that there's nobody in this meeting this morning could run as far as Elijah did that day. And where he ran, he actually ran across the great plain of Megiddo, there in the northern part of Israel. Megiddo, which is so much talked about when the subject of Bible prophecy is being spoken about. So he ran. In fact, I think you would see, if you considered that any Olympic team would have been proud of having Elijah on their team, especially their marathon team. Also, let me give you another one. In the Bible, there's a statement that you read over and over again, many times in the Scriptures. It's the words from Dan to Beersheba. Now, a quick look at the Bible Atlas would reveal to you the significance of that oft-repeated phrase. Dan to Beersheba really means from one end of the country to the other, from the southern tip to the northern end. Dan in the north, Beersheba in the south. It's talking about really the whole country, the whole nation of Israel. Think too of the life of the Lord Jesus. How far did the wise men travel when they came to visit the Savior? How far did Mary and Joseph travel when they went from Nazareth down to Bethlehem for the time of the taxing? How far did they travel when they left Bethlehem and fled down into Egypt itself? Those are just a few more suggestions. A Bible Atlas will answer all of those questions and many, many more for you. We could mention others to show you that the meaning of many passages in the Bible would be enriched, greatly enriched for you, just by simply looking up the location, simply looking at that place in a Bible Atlas. You may never be able to go and see those lands. Some in the meeting today have had that opportunity. Maybe in the future we'll have a further opportunity to visit the land of Israel. But you may never be able to go and see those lands for yourself. But you can learn many of the same lessons just by means of doing a little bit of reading, a little bit of study of a Bible Atlas. Here you're spoilt really for choice. There's Baker's, Zondervan's, Macmillan's. Really, in fact, all the major publishing houses have produced their own copy, their own edition of a Bible Atlas. But any of the books that I've mentioned, you make your way down to Newcastle, go to the Beulah Bookshop, have a little chat with our brother Ian. He'll only be too happy to help you and to provide for you what will be necessary. So books that help you read and study a little further in the Word of God. A commentary, a concordance, a dictionary, we've emphasized four of those, and an atlas. Really, those are books that should be on the shelf of every Christian, every serious student of the Word of God. Remember, in this technological age, that there's computerized versions of all of those as well. There's what is called eSword that combines really all the books that I've mentioned to you this morning. Depends on the type of computer or the type of phone or tablet that you have, but generally that you can download it free of charge. Maybe on an Apple device you might have to pay something like £3. But the benefit of that is you have all of those to hand to carry about with you. Any free time you have, when you're travelling, when you're at work, you're able to take a little bit of time just there to study, even on your holidays. You don't have to carry all of those books about with you. So emphasise the eSword to you. But brethren and sisters, just as we finish, I want to encourage you all to put more time and more effort into the study of the Word of God. Remember, God has blessed us in our day. God has blessed us with His Word in our own language. And God has blessed us with many other books that can help us in our reading and study of the Scriptures. Many books. There's probably never been a day when there has been more help available to the people of God. So I urge you to take advantage of those books and those helps. I would exhort you in the words of Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, he said, give attendance to reading. Give attention, give time to the reading, especially of the Word of God. He said, remember the verse we read at the beginning of the meeting last Sunday morning, study to show thyself approved unto God. So be like Paul himself. Have a desire to learn. Remember, he's at the end of his days here. He's waiting to be executed. He's in the prison cell. He didn't just want to freewheel out his days on this earth. He wanted to pass the time wisely and profitably. He wanted to learn a little more. He wanted to study the Scriptures a little more deeply. So I encourage you to follow in his footsteps. Bring the books, but especially the parchments. May God bless his word today to all of our hearts. 192 is our closing hymn. O Word of God incarnate, wisdom from on high. O truth unchanged, unchanging. O light of our dark sky. We praise thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern to our footsteps shines on. From age to age. Verses 1, 3, and 4. We'll leave out the second and we'll stand as we sing, please. Oh. Let's just pray together as we close. Father, we do praise thee today for every spiritual blessing you've bestowed upon us. We thank you especially for the good word of God. We rejoice in this book with which you've blessed us. Lord, we pray that you'll give us a greater desire for the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. The scriptures tell us, great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we plead, Father, today give us a greater love for the Bible, for the book of God. Give us, Father, help as we study it. May you deepen that desire in our hearts, and come by your Spirit and teach us. Give us a fuller understanding of all that's recorded in it. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us, give us grace to be doers also of thy precious word. Be with us now. We commit ourselves into your keeping for this week as we go from the house of God. And we pray that the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.